We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hey, this is Pastor Scott, and we're doing a home invasion on the Fluid House. They happen to be having Connect Group here tonight. Let's see if they'll let us in.
Hey, come on in!
I think they might.
This is our 2-year-old, Will.
He's about to go to bed.
Say hi, Will.
Hello, hello, hello.
What do you got going on tonight?
Actually, we got a lot going on tonight. We've got Connect Group, and any moment we're going to be getting some knocks at the door, some people coming in. We've got some barbecue chicken sandwiches we're going to have. We've got some salad. We got some drinks. Just a lot of hanging out. A lot of people are going to be in here. We're going to be filling up our living room just with a bunch of people talking about Jesus.
Jeremy Skinner!
Hello, Jeremy.
We're really close here. We need to move. Come on in.
Oh, no.
Hi, welcome to Connect Group.
Hey! Cortez is over here. Look, you're on camera. You're on camera. Home invasion.
What's the deal with Connect Group?
Connect Group's awesome. Connect Group is not a church service. It's not a Bible study. It's not a prayer meeting. It's something a lot more than all those things. We go from house to house, and we meet together, and we eat, we hang out, we do life together, we talk about the Word of God, talk about life, we share. It's a great way to get to know the people inside your church. It's a great meeting. I love Connect Group.
My name is Sarah, and I found out about Redemption Church back in 2007. I was invited to Friends Day by my now husband, Chris, and Redemption Church means the world to me. I've got a lot of friends there, and it's where I was first met Jesus.
This is our ferocious Yorkshire Terrier named Tonic. That's Daddy's baby. Yes, it is. Daddy's baby.
About it. All right. Sorry, I'm really goofy, and I had way too much sugar, I think, that day when they filmed that. But I'm Chris Blewett. I am a lead pastor around here, and I'm really excited to see everyone in the house of God today. Glad to see all of you. We have been, if you don't know about Connect Groups, you really need to know about it. You need to come hang out with us at Connect Group. It is awesome. There's just no way to really describe it. You need to come experience it for yourself, all right? You want to know about that? You just ask us about it. We are in the middle of a sermon series. What is the name of our sermon series, everyone? That's right, First Century Church Connecting to a 21st Century World, and that is also our vision. It's a vision series, and we're on week 3 of it. We have Robert Yarbrough right here. He's going to preach to you in just 1 second. Before he does, I just wanted to come and introduce him, all right? Robert, if you sometimes you just walk into church and you don't realize everything that goes on, all right? That 5-minute countdown starts, and then that's not when we start working. We've started working long before that 5-minute countdown started, right? And so this is a guy, he's behind the scenes always working. He's sometimes in front of you with a microphone, but he is always in the background working, and he is our connections pastor around here. If you don't know that, he is in charge of everyone that comes in that front door. He's in charge of them getting the best greeting possible. He's in charge of the hostesses and the ushers and the greeters, all of that. And that's his job. So he's running like crazy out here getting everything done before church starts. We love him for that. And he's also involved in connecting you inside the church. Sometimes you go to church and you're like, hey, how do you get involved around here? This guy right here, you ask this guy, he does something called Redemption Class. By the way, we taught Redemption Class to some people that wanted to know about Redemption Church. We're doing it again in 3 weeks, all right? This is the guy who leads that. He gets that all together, all right? This is our Connections Pastor. If you got any questions about how to get involved around Redemption, this is the guy. Now, why is he preaching to you today? I'll tell you why. He is so invested in this church. He gets to speak into this church. This church, the vision of this church isn't crafted by one person. I'm lead pastor around here, but I'm not the guy that crafts this. We actually look in the Word of God, and all of us together, we are crafting this church. We're building it up. We're putting it into focus. And this guy, he's going to come and share his heart, and he's going to talk to us about community today. So I want you to give a big round of applause for Pastor Robert Yarbrough.
Thank you very much.
Let's do something else. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord, because he's the one that really deserves it. He's the one that deserves all of our praise, all of our work, all of our love, every aspect of our being. He deserves it all, because he's got this whole thing in his hands. If it were not for him, we would be in a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. I want to turn your attention today about community. In the New Testament, and I'm going to read just a little bit of scripture here, so it's going to be a little scripture intensive at first, and then we'll get into a little bit more preaching. But Acts chapter number 2, starting in verse number 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And then skipping down to verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You may recognize that. That's our memory verse. It's the King James Version of our memory verse, but it's still our memory verse, and it's something we want to plant in your heart. And today I want to talk about unity in community, because without community, we cannot survive. A first century church, which is what we want to be, must have true community. What is community? Why is community important in the first century church? Because God is not a God of division. That's the first thing we notice in Scripture. He is not a God of division. He's a God of unity. He wants his people to be unified. He wants his people to be blessed. He doesn't want his people competing with each other and always striving to do better than their brother or sister. He wants us to be in community. True community is needed to facilitate the movement of his Spirit. How many wants God's Spirit to move in our services? In your homes, in your workplace, in the school, everywhere you go, we want the Spirit of God to move and be active and continually flowing in us and through us and out to others around us. The only way that can happen is if we're in community with God. Man cannot accomplish much when division is present. One only needs to look at our federal government to see that a divided house cannot get anything accomplished. It's amazing to me how the president and the Congress can't even agree that the sky is blue on a sunny day. They cannot agree that money is green and should be saved and spent wisely. They cannot agree that, you know, taxes should be low and that this and that and the other should be done in an orderly and polite way. It's amazing to see them in action, because one will say the sky is blue, another will say the sky is green, a third one will come along and say, no, the sky is purple, and they will just fight and fight and fight. George Washington did not want this to be present in the United States. In fact, he warned those that would come after him as future presidents that stay away from political parties, because they can divide you right down the middle, and a divided house cannot stand. A divided house will die. Divided people cannot get anything accomplished. Together we can do great things. I believe together we can do amazing things. And here's a perfect example. Pick the biggest van that we can find out in the parking lot right now. And pick the strongest man or woman that you can find and say, go move that van across the parking lot without getting in it with the keys and starting it up and driving it. Pick it up and move it. Well, one person, that's silly. One person can't do that. One person can't pick up a van, put it on their back, and travel across the parking lot. But if all of us together go to that van and each one of us grab a piece of that van, we can pick that thing up and move it across any parking lot that we want to. Because unity and community is a powerful thing. Great things can be accomplished if we're in true community. True community, it leads to endless possibilities. When man is in true community, big things are possible.
In Genesis chapter number 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. Now, the Tower of Babel was something that was completely outside of God's will. God did not want the men and women to build the Tower of Babel. But they were unified. Read in Genesis chapter 11. They were unified in spirit, in vision, in action, in communication. They were in true community. And God said, there's nothing that can be withheld from these people because they are unified. They are in true community with one another. Something that was completely outside of the will of God was still possible because of community. Community is such a powerful thing. When man and God are unified, miraculous things are possible. Throughout the book of Acts, if you've never read the book of Acts, read it. If you've read it before, read it again. Because when man gets unified, big things are possible. We know that. When man and God get unified, get in community with one another, when a group of people get in community with each other and with God, miraculous things are possible. Miraculous things can come to pass. The impossible becomes possible. The unbelievable becomes believable. The infilling of the Holy Ghost becomes possible when people are unified with one another and unified with God. When man is in true community, big things are possible. But when man and God are unified in true community, miraculous things are possible. And I want to be a part of a miraculous church, a church where miracles are flowing through our services, that are flowing through our connect groups, flowing in our Sunday school, flowing in our nursery, flowing in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. I want to be seeing miracles to where people will turn around and say, what in the world is going on at Redemption Church? I thought they were just a little bitty church. I thought they were just small in number. But look at the miracles that are coming forth. We're having healings come forth. We're having infilling of the Holy Ghost come forth. We're having miraculous blessings come forth. Financial blessings, emotional blessings, spiritual blessings. All kinds of things are possible with God if we're in true community. The book of Acts is an excellent example of community in action. In Acts chapter number 2, in verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. In verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at this closely. They were with one accord and in one place. One accord. In one place. Community starts with being in one place physically and then checking your mind in and being unified in mind and spirit as well as body. Community is so important in the book of Acts. If the apostles, the disciples had come together in the upper room and just, you know, one stood over here and one stood over there and one prayed for this and one prayed for that and they all had their own agendas, we would never have seen that mighty rushing wind. We would have never seen the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit needs unity. It needs community. The amazing thing about community, when true community is present, heaven starts to move. Heaven starts to take notice. God looks down from heaven and says, wow, I got to go down there. I've got to be a part of that. I've got to be a part. I've got to touch that. I've got to touch those people because they are unified. They're in community. They love each other. They're united. They're going to do great things. And I just got to be a part because I love that. That's the awesome thing about Jesus Christ is when he sees true community, he just can't walk by and say, oh, that's cool, whatever. He looks at it and says, no. That's an awesome thing, because only through the Holy Spirit is that truly possible. But when we first come to God and we're in community, God takes notice and he says, I've got to be a part of that. I've got to touch these people. I've got to bless these people. I've got to flow through these people, in these people, with these people, and talk to them and be their God. Amen. The world notices when true community comes together. The greatest of all miracles, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, hits this community in Acts chapter 2 and spreads like wildfire. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if we got so unified, so close as a community, that the Holy Ghost starts to spread like wildfire? Now, I know we've done great things here at Redemption Church. We've baptized people. We've seen people come to know God. But, you know, I just got to believe that there's more. There's more people that need to come to God. There's more baptisms out there waiting for us. It would be a wonderful thing if in 2013 we set a record for Redemption Church and not only double, but double and double again in baptisms and infilling of the Holy Spirit, people coming to repentance, and people coming to know God for that very first time. The community in the book of Acts was unified in purpose, and miracles followed. I want to talk about united we stand. Community is present throughout the Bible, but it's also present in American history. Yes, even American history. As divided as our government is now, in the past, they were actually united in vision. In 1776, the 13 colonies declared their independence from England. This was a very gutsy move that could have ended in complete failure. If not for a unified community of people that bought into the vision of an independent nation, success would not have been possible. But because of the power of community, England was defeated and a great nation was born. Now, I don't think our history classes really give justice to this occurrence, because England was the biggest and baddest nation on the planet. They were not challenged by anybody without being squashed. They were like America today. They were the lone superpower in the world. England said it, and it was law. And here's 13 little bitty colonies, all by themselves, surrounded by wilderness. The whole West Coast and Midwest had not been settled yet. All by themselves decide, we're going to take this monster on. We're going to take this monster on, and not only are we going to take this monster on, but we're going to defeat it, and we're going to win our independence, and we're going to do great things for the people in this area of the world. That would not have been possible without community. Because if the 13 colonies had said, okay, well, South Carolina, I'm going to do this. Delaware, I'm going to do that. Maryland, I'm going to go over here. No, that would have never worked. That would have been foolish, and that would have been a quick way to defeat. American history is full of examples like that. Community was also present in the recent history of this nation. When my parents were growing up, communities truly knew each other, and it's amazing. I remember my parents talking about how if the kids messed up in the neighborhood, the parent didn't have to come and spank them first. The neighbor would pick them up and whack right on the rear and say, you did wrong. Go home and tell your mama. An amazing thing happened. The mama didn't say, well, I'm calling the law. No, they spanked the child again and sent them to their room without supper or whatever discipline they had in that house. That's the kind of community that I'm talking about that used to be present here in this nation. When my parents were growing up, communities truly knew each other, would come together to help raise children, protect neighborhoods from crime, and celebrate blessings. When bad times came, neighbors were there to help and share the burdens that came. Now, too often, we'll see our neighbor get a brand new car, and we'll go, well, how'd they get that thing? He must be cheating on his taxes. Something. Because that dog don't deserve no new car. I deserve a new car. And you know what? I'm going to go buy a car better than his, because I got to be better than my neighbor. I remember watching the Wonder Years on television, and when Kevin would see his neighbor get a new car, it wasn't a thing of, it was, let's go see it. Let's go see it. Let's go share in their glory. Let's go share in their blessing. Let's go be a part of what they have done, what they've accomplished. Community in the past, you would have neighborhood parties. People would come together. And it didn't have to be a big organized thing. They just They just did it. Potluck dinners. All kinds of wonderful things in true community. They knew each other. They knew each other on a first name basis. It wasn't you got out, went out and got the paper and, oh, who's that? Oh, yeah, he's lived there for a while. I'll go back in the house now. No. True community. They would say hi to each other. They would wave with all five of their fingers instead of just one. They loved each other. They cared about each other. And when something bad came, the neighbors were there to help and share the burden. It's amazing how people in the past would watch each other's children when someone was sick. Or if someone, you know, was expecting a child and the time came at 3 o'clock in the morning and you had three other children in the home already, you didn't have to load them all in the car and rush to the hospital. No, the neighbor would come over and watch the kids for them while they went and had their fourth or fifth or whatever. But today, community is hard to find. Community is so hard to find. Neighborhoods have been reduced to a collection of homes with no real community. I've seen pictures of wood frame houses that my grandparents and my parents grew up in. And you would look at those at first glance and say, oh man, they really had it rough back then. Because look at the great buildings we have now, the great homes that we have now, the McMansions, as I call them, you know, the 18-room house with, you know, a family of four, you know. But beautiful homes, great, you know, things to have. You know, perfectly manicured lawns and beautiful cars in the parking lot. All those are in the driveway and all those wonderful things. But they don't know who their neighbor is. They don't know their neighbor from Adam. They don't have any clue who their neighbor is, despite the fact that they live 10 yards away. That would have been complete. If you could go back in a time machine and grab someone and bring them back here from the past, say the 50s or so, they would look at that and say, what? You just stay in your house? You don't go out in the front porch and communicate with one another and have fun and let the kids play with each other without fear of a lawsuit? People don't talk to neighbors like they used to. People tend to not want to get involved when trouble strikes. An amazing thing happens with division. Satan is the author of division. He loves division. Because when division comes, when communities die, he can come in and do his best work. Because together, we're unified, and we can do great things, and we're strong. But when we're divided, he can come in and say, I've got you one-on-one. There's no one to help you. There's no one around you. I've got you all to myself, and I can do an awful work in your life. And you only need to look at the headlines and see that. People tend to not want to get involved when trouble strikes. This leads to spousal abuse that goes unreported. Now, you would think someone knocking their spouse around would be the first thing we'd go, oh, no, you got to stop that. Oh, you're not going to stop that? Okay, I'm going to call the cops. But too often, people are like, oh, that's their business. That just may be the way they do things. I'm not going to get involved because that's just too much. Child abuse goes unreported. The thing that happened in Penn State, there were many witnesses to what was going on. Despicable acts going on at a major university. And people turned a blind eye to it because they didn't want to get involved. That's a dead community. That's a community that is completely dead in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, to let something like that go unchecked. Drug trafficking has infiltrated our neighborhoods and many other unspeakable crimes that have come to pass, all because we have been divided. We've allowed community to die. We've allowed community to be something that, well, that's something that grandma used to do. We've let community become awkward to the point of, well, I know I see them every day at work, but I just can't talk to them. I just can't. It's an amazing thing. I work in a cubicle environment. There's probably 400 people in the building that I work, and there's probably 100 people on the floor that I work. And we're all separated in these little cubicle cities. I've got a lady that sits two cubicles away from me, will not get out of her desk, but she'll send me an email and ask me a question. The first time that happened, I said, really? Am I that oppressive of a person? Do I stink, or what? You know, what's going on here? So I got up out of my desk, being the person that I am, and said, "Hey, you know, you got a question?" And she looked at me like I was the wolf man or something, because she was like, "What are you doing? You left your cubicle and you're talking to me." Now, I was at a respectful distance, you know. I wasn't, you know, invading her personal space or, you know, busting her bubble or anything like that. But she was just dumbfounded that I'd actually want to talk to her. And she sits two cubicles away, and our cubicles are so close together that I could hear her typing the email. Come on! Come on! But people don't talk to each other. People don't really talk to each other. Even in churches, you will see these huge mega churches where they're doing some good things. But they will sit next to the same person for years and never utter two words to them other than, excuse me, when they have to get up to go to the restroom. Community is broken there because you've got God, you know, they're in God's house. And you've got God saying, hey, come together and I'll do a great work with you. And they're saying, no, that's too awkward. I can't get out of my personal space. I can't get out of my comfort zone. If we can recapture true community, we can reverse the downward spiral that our society is in. Because our society has become so divided and so all about me and mine and what I can get and how I can get better than my neighbors, that we've forgotten all about the fact that we're in this thing together. If this planet fails, there's no other planet that we can jump to and say, okay, well, we'll start all over, because I don't care what they say, Mars is not going to be hospitable or habitable for quite a while, you know, until they can build all the space junk to get there, and that's talking hundreds of years from now. We can't go to Venus because it's too hot. Mercury's too hot. You know, we've got to take care of home, because this is the only home we've got. And there's only a small space of time that we're allotted on this earth before we have to meet our Maker. And I don't want to waste that time being all about me and saying, what can I get? What can I do? How can I do better than they? No, I want to spend my time saying, hey, how can I help my brother? And at the same time, when I help my brother, I get help myself. Because it's an amazing thing. When you make a friend, a true friend, when you make a true community member, you can do great things together, because all of a sudden, when you trip and fall, someone is right there to help you up. Right there to help you up. If you're all alone, you fall down, you're going to get stepped on. How do we recapture community? Community is so needed in this day and age. We've got so much stuff. We can connect in so many ways electronically. I'm amazed. I'm not, you know, very good at texting. You know, my thumbs just aren't good at that. But my kids can send 50 texts in 5 minutes to 50 different friends. And then get 50 responses in a matter of minutes. But we can't go next door and welcome a new neighbor with a pie and say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. How do we recapture community? The first thing we need to do as believers is we need to repent. We need to repent. Repentance has become such a dirty word today, but it's such a necessary thing. It's biblical. God loves repentance. If He didn't love repentance, He would not have given it to us. And repentance is such a beautiful thing, because you are able to say, all the stuff I messed up on, I can turn my back on it, and I can start afresh and start moving in the right direction. Repentance is so necessary. We've got to repent as believers and say, hey, I haven't been a community like I really need to be. I haven't been a member of my community like I really need to be. At church, at home, in the school, at work, in the grocery store. We need to repent and say, God, please forgive us for ignoring the problems of others. Now, at Redemption Church, we do a good job of helping each other out from time to time, but I believe there's room for improvement there. There's room for improvement to where, you know, people don't have to suffer in the church. Now, trouble is going to come from time to time, but we don't have to stand all alone in the cold and shivering without a coat and say, I just don't have anything, when there's a believer maybe three steps away that has two coats and doesn't know what to do with the second one. We've got to be able to get into community. And the only way we can do that is we got to repent and say, God, forgive us. Help us to get back to your grand design. Number two, we got to reconnect with the community builder, and that's God himself. After we've repented and said, God, I'm going to do different, we need to really connect with him. Now, I'm not talking about just saying a prayer, a pre-printed prayer every, you know, 2 weeks or something, or reading two scriptures every 2 weeks or something. I'm talking about really getting down on your knees and just talking to God. Talking to God. It's amazing. When you talk to God and really talk to him, he'll talk back. He'll speak back into your life. He will touch you in ways that you couldn't imagine. He'll do things in your life that just are unbelievable. But we've got to reconnect with God. Third thing we need to do is we need to reconnect with other believers in the church. When one of us is suffering, we ought to all be suffering to a degree. If someone is hurting, we ought to hurt with them. I remember when Ruby was diagnosed with cancer. The church felt that. Ruby felt it. Ron felt it. Their family felt it. But Redemption Church, their church family, also felt it. And we came together as a community and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and a miraculous thing happened. She's cancer-free now. Amen. That's a miraculous thing. I truly believe, though, that would not have happened if they were not part of a church that was connected with one another. If they had just come forward and said, Ruby's got cancer, will you pray? And we all say, yeah, we'll pray. And we never get around to it. I shudder to think what might have happened. Because if we don't ask, it's not going to happen. God says, ask, and it'll come to pass. But if we don't ever ask, things aren't going to happen. God's got this grand buffet of things for us. But if we never ask, or come to him and say, God, what would you have me to do? How can I become a part of the community? Things will never come to pass. Here at Redemption Church, we have a way of connecting with one another here inside the sanctuary. We have a plan for recapturing community with one another inside the church. And it starts with the three things we do when we come together. Everybody worships. Everybody receives the word of God, and everybody talks to God. Now, some would say, well, that's cute that y'all do that, but these are biblical principles, real powerful tools that if we will pick them up and use them, can build our community to be strong so that when the enemy comes against us, we can say, we got a great big God right here beside us that is going to take you out. You cannot touch us because we are God's children. Not because we're anything powerful amongst ourselves, but because we are united with each other, and even more important, we're united with a great big God who can do great big things despite what any devil might try to come and do. So we need to worship with our hearts, with our souls, with our hands, with our voices, with our dollars. We need to receive the word of God and apply it to our life. And we need to talk to God. That's one of the biggest things I love about Redemption Church is when we have altar call, it's not so that, you know, the person who really screwed up this week can come and feel awkward and come down and, you know, shake the preacher's hand and say, everybody knows I screwed up this week, here I am. That's not the way we do things here. When we come to talk to God and have altar call, every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have done something. We've messed something. We've missed the mark somewhere. And that's called sin. So we need to come and talk to God, get reconnected and say, God, I know I've messed up. My brothers and sisters have done some things. But you know what? I'm just concerned with me right now. It's just me and you. And I'm going to talk to you in this altar. I'm going to touch you in this altar. And I'm going to be touched by you in this altar. Because when you talk to God, He does not ignore you. Now, sometimes you don't get the answer that you really want. But He's got the answer that you really need so that we can be in true community. Recapturing community must continue when we leave. And we do that by doing the three things we do when we leave. See, here at Redemption Church, we don't just preach at you and say, you know, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. No, we want to put tools in your hands so that we can be a real community. All work together, accomplish great things together. And when we fail, we will weep with those that weep. But when we succeed, man, we're going to celebrate with those that celebrate. And we're going to do great things in the kingdom of God. The number one thing we do when we leave is we connect with God. If the only time you feel God is in this sanctuary, you are cheating yourself immensely. You are not truly living the Christian life the way God wants you to. If the only time you get a Holy Ghost goosebumps is inside a sanctuary or at an altar, you are missing what God really wants for you. If you don't hear His voice when you're at home and at work and on your way to work and at school, you are missing what God really wants for you. Because we've got a great big God that's bigger than this sanctuary. And look around, this sanctuary is huge. But we've got a God that's so much bigger, so much better, so much, has got so much blessing for us, but we've got to plug in. We've got to connect with God. We've got to connect with other believers. If the only time you see your brother or sister at Redemption Church is on Sunday or on Wednesday at Connect Group, you're not getting the full blessing that God has for you. We should see each other throughout the week, or at least call each other or email each other or something to say, hey, I've had a good week, how about you? Or hey, I've had a really bad week, how about you? You know, and pray for one another and strengthen one another throughout the week, because the enemy loves it when you're all alone. I can remember a time in my life, my personal testimony is that at one time in my life, I suffered immensely with deep, dark depression. And when I had that deep, dark depression, my first instinct was to get all by myself. I didn't want nothing to do with the church. I didn't want nothing to do with my family. I didn't want nothing to do with my kids, my wife, nothing. And I would isolate myself in a bedroom, sometimes a closet. And the enemy would come and fill my head with all kinds of bad, dark things. To the point to where I was considering suicide. Now, I had everything to live for. I had a beautiful wife. I had two beautiful children. We were in a nice home. We were driving nice cars, and we were doing good things. But I was isolating myself. I wasn't connecting with other believers. And when I isolated myself, the enemy was able to step in and say, I've got you right where I want you. It reminds me of a boxer who's got his opponent against the ropes. And he's jabbed him and jabbed him and jabbed him and jabbed him until, you know, the opponent is back up in the ropes and he drops his hands. He's got nowhere to go, nowhere to run. He can't duck because he's too tired. He can't weave because his ribs are broken. And that boxer winds up for the knockout blow. Satan was doing the same thing to me when I was isolated. He was winding up. Because he had me beat up. He had me in a corner. He had me in a place where I was all alone. He was winding with that sadistic sneer. I'm going to knock you out. You're going to take pills, or you're going to put a gun in your mouth, or you're going to do this or that or the other, but you're going to end your life right now because I said so. That's what division does. That's what ignoring community can do. So we've got to connect with other believers. It is so necessary. We've got to connect with God. We've got to connect with other believers. We've got to stay connected with one another. That's why we have connect groups, because it's so easy to drift away and say, well, I'll do it by myself for a little while. No, we're sheep in God's pasture. Literal sheep in a pasture. If one wanders away, that's the one the wolf gets. That's the one the wolf chomps down on and eats. The ones that stay in community and stay in their circle and stay in a herd, they don't have to worry about that. I don't want to be on the fringe. I want to be right in the middle of God's community saying, you know what, come what may, but there's not a devil in hell or on this earth that can touch me because I'm surrounded by other believers and I've got a great big God in my heart that is protecting me. So we've got to connect with God. We've got to connect with other believers. And we've got to connect others to the love of Jesus Christ. That's the third thing we do when we leave. It's amazing what happens in your life when you start reaching out to others outside the church. There's no greater blessing than to see someone that you have witnessed to, that you have poured the Spirit of God into, or poured your heart into, or poured the Word of God into, and said, please let them come to church. There's nothing greater than to see them walk that aisle one day and come down with you and pray that first prayer to God. Now, they may not get, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit that first time. And they might. You never know. But when they come down that first time and acknowledge the fact that, yes, there's a God. Yes, there's a God that loves me. And yes, there's a God that wants to walk and talk and live and bless me in ways that I can't imagine. The book of Acts is our blueprint for success if we truly want to be a first century church that connects to a 21st century world. We must read this book, we must know this book, and we must live the book of Acts to be in true community. Well, you might say, you're talking all about Acts, it's all about Acts, it's all about Acts. All through the New Testament, it's all about community and living with one another, connecting with one another, weeping with those that weep, rejoicing with those that rejoice, and loving each other through all the times, good and bad. If we get in true community, we get unified with God and with each other, we can expand on the great things happening here at Redemption Church. You know, in 2012, I sincerely believe that Satan took his best shot at destroying us. Losing a founding pastor is a tremendous blow to any church. I don't care what size it is. And he was smiling there for a moment because he says, I'm going to kill what God's doing. But because of a community of believers that were unified with one another and unified with God, we are still standing, we're still expanding. We're still growing with God and with each other. We're growing in number. We're growing in power with God. We are fulfilling Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where God says, I will give you power when you receive my Spirit. Amen. Healings have happened here, but I believe that more are possible. I believe we can have so many miracles going on that people come off the streets and say, I've never been told anything about this church other than something's happening here. Something's happening here, and I want to be a part of it. People have been filled with the Holy Ghost here, but there are so many more to come. So many more to come. Miracles have happened here, but there are more that are possible. Love is present here, but even more love is possible. Great things are happening at Redemption Church, but I believe we've just got the very tip of the iceberg. You know, an iceberg is a funny thing because it's got usually has a small peak, and then it kind of expands till it gets to the water, and that's all you see. But underneath the water, there's a big, huge thing of ice underneath there guiding that thing. I believe we're just at the tip of that iceberg to where we're going to see big things, bigger things, and then unbelievable things happen here at Redemption Church. I truly believe that Redemption Church's best days are not behind us, but they are before us. They are ahead of us. They are yet to come. We have yet to see the true revival that God has for Plano, Texas, here at Redemption Church, because there are so many souls that are around us that need God, that need Him. And the weird thing is, they want Him. Man has been created by our Creator with an innate need to worship something. Super Bowl Sunday is coming up, and I'll be watching. I like football. But there are some that is the thing that they worship. That is the thing that they live and die for. And then some people, it's music. Some people, it's Desperate Housewives or whatever the popular TV show is right now. I'm so far behind on TV, I don't even remember. But we've got to be in community with one another. God wants to reach this entire area. Plano, God wants to reach Plano. Allen, God wants to reach Allen. Irving, God wants to reach Irving. Dallas, God wants to reach Dallas. Wiley, God wants to reach Wiley. Texas, God wants to reach Texas. He wants to reach this entire nation because this nation was founded on such great principles that we have forgotten. That's why we're such a great nation now, is because we were founded on those great principles. But that's also why we're crumbling right now, because we have forgotten those principles. We have walked away from community. We've walked away from being unified. He wants to bring new people into our community. Here's a question I have for you as I start to close. Will you allow them to come? The funny thing about communities is when they get real close and tight-knit, sometimes they can get so tight-knit that they don't want to let other people in. Someone will come in and sit in a chair, and you'll be like, oh, that's my chair. You got to move. That one chair is mine. I pay my tithe, and it's mine. Yeah, fourth from the left, that's mine. But He wants to bring new people into our community. Will you allow them to come? Are you really connected to this community? Redemption Church is a first century church connecting with a 21st century world. Let's build on this great foundation. Get even closer as a community and reach our world. You know, we don't come together to play Pentecostal patty cake. We're not here just to, get our Holy Ghost goosebumps or get our little blessing and move on. This is eternal business that we're dealing with here. People are going to end up in one of two places for eternity. They're going to end up in heaven rejoicing with God, or they're going to end up in a place that was never intended for them, a place called hell. That's it. Those are the two choices. And we're either going to reach people, be a true community, and allow more people to come in, or we're going to be just another group of people. Did a few good things and then passed away. I want to be a church that lasts. Has an eternal footprint on people's lives. I see all these empty chairs. And I see faces filling those chairs. One at a time. Two at a time. 10 at a time, to the point to where in 2 years we have to either put chairs all the way over there and all the way over there, or we have to build a big building, or we have to do whatever we've got to do. People are hungry. I heard a politician one time. He was talking about the nature of people. And he was talking about how people will eat sand if that's all you feed them. If you just give them sand and that's all, eventually they'll try to eat that sand because it's all they know. The world is doing that right now. It's just giving them rocks, crumbs, past promises, past successes. It's just giving them the bare essentials to live physically in this earth. Our world is falling so far short of what God has for us. And a lot of people are suffering right now because they don't know any better. They don't understand that there's a God that loves them and wants to touch them and lift them up out of the muck and the mire that they're in. People will eat or feed on just about anything. We need to reach out to them and make sure that they're feeding on the Word of God, that they're feeding on Jesus Christ, so that they can really grow, so that they can really be nourished. You know, if you take a child and just feed them junk food, you can literally kill them. But if you give them healthy things, fruits and vegetables, milk and, you know, lots of water and meat and good things, they can grow up and be a strong person. That's true in our spiritual nature too. If the only thing we feed on is the junk coming out of Hollywood, if the only thing we feed on is the junk coming through our televisions, if the only thing we feed on is the junk coming through our radio, and we never open this book, and feed on it for a little while, we will die. And I'm not talking about a physical death. Oh, that'll come. But I'm talking a spiritual death that is eternal in nature. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. I want to get to heaven more than anything. But I don't want to get to heaven and then God look at me and say, "Well done, you made it. But why didn't you bring anybody?" There's not a single person that you witness to that's coming home. I love you, and I'm glad you're here. But I wish we could push the rewind button so that you could bring others with you. No one ever lays on a deathbed wishing that they had worked their job more. No one ever lays on their deathbed wishing that they had mowed the lawn just a little more perfect or spent more time in the flower bed. Those things are fun, by the way. But they don't need to be our primary focus. But there are a whole lot of people that come to that final moment in their life, whether it's on a deathbed or it's in a car crash or whatever it might be. And they come to the realization that I didn't talk to my God when I had the opportunity. Or I talked to my God, but I never witnessed to that special someone that was right there next to me at work or in school. True community will not allow that to happen. Can we all stand? True community will not allow division to come to pass amongst a group of believers. True community will withstand the attacks and the slings and the arrows of the enemy when they come. And I promise you, they're going to come. as we grow, there's going to be levels of struggle that we're going to go through. But if we will stay in community with one another, we can not only get through those tough times, but we can excel in those tough times. The apostles had all kinds of things coming against them. Read through the epistles of Paul and see how he struggled so mightily with his own people. How they wanted to kill him. And they even tried to kill him a couple of times. And then he got shipwrecked and he had all these things working against him. But we read about Paul, and he wrote over half of our New Testament because he was in community with God and a group of believers. And he said, come what may, I've got my eyes on the prize. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue on the road that God has set for me, and I'm going to do great things no matter what comes my way. And Paul did it. Let me tell you a little secret about Paul. If you've got the Holy Ghost today, he had the same Holy Ghost that you've got right now. He didn't have an extra dip of blessing or an extra dip of Holy Ghost or an extra dose or anything like that. The same Holy Ghost that was available to him is available to you right now. I don't care if you're 2 or 22 or 102 or whatever. That same Holy Ghost is available for you right now. Right now. This is a moment in time where we can say, yes, we're going to be in true community. Yes, we're going to be a first century church that connects with a 21st century world. Or no, that step is just too hard. I believe God's got so much for us, but we got to be willing to go to that edge and say, God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what that next step looks like. I don't know how scary it might be. I don't know how treacherous it might be. But I'm trusting you and I'm stepping. I'm trusting you and I'm stepping. And then when the next step comes, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to step. And when I trust you, great things are going to occur. We've got to trust him today. Can we lift our hands towards heaven just for a moment? I'm going to open these altars just in just a moment, but let's talk to God just for a second before we come and ask God to purify our hearts. Lord, we love you so much. We want so much to be a community of believers, in community with one another, but more importantly, we want to be in community with you. Jesus, we want all that you have for us. All that you have for us. Not just a portion, not just a piece. All that you have for us. These altars are open. I invite you to come and let's talk to God as individuals and as a community of believers. Believing that God is going to do great work amongst us, with us, for us, even to us. Lord, we thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.